You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Friday night hoops and an opportunity at the end for the Philadelphia 76ers to steal yet another one from the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they fell short at the very end, falling by 3 points, 117-114. Now, losers of three in a row. We'll get to a whole bunch of it all as we broadcast live here from Deke's Barbecue on Berkeley, the PHLY Sixers postgame show. Derek Bodner, Kyle Newbeck, Devon Givens, Brianna producing, all of you out there certainly in the chat. We'll get to you, your super chats as well. But man, this one was another tough one. Hanging in there throughout the night, making us believe, and I'm sure many of you, that they were going to pull through, get this victory, snap their two-game losing streak, and again, just add to their win total when they can, pick up win number 40 on the campaign. But because of a tough Tyrese Maxey performance tonight, although he had a double-double with 16 points, 11 assists, he shot 7 for 26 from the field, 2 for 12 from beyond, and you got good performances from the likes of Tobias Harris, Mo Bamba, Kyle Lowry, and Paul Reed off the bench, Buddy Hield as well. But because of Tyrese Maxey in this one, they needed a little bit more, Kyle, in order for him to come away with the end. At the end, he had an opportunity to tie it before the buzzer sounded, a rebound from Jared Allen. He missed it. Game over. Sixers fall. What are your thoughts initially?
I mean, maybe they could have used as much Beyonce as we're getting right now. Maybe the Queen Bee could have helped us out and helped push the Sixers sort of victory. Yeah, I mean, listen, the graphic and the headline, I think, says it all on this one. This was just a horrendous performance from Tyrese. Really bad shooting outing. Honestly, I think I was more disappointed in the defensive issues that he had, or at least contributed to, in this one. Because to me, the big theme of the game was the shooting for Cleveland. I thought they allow, like, we know coming into a game, George Niang and Sam Merrill Jr., their only job is to space the floor, let it fly, occasionally be to close out and attack it, right? And so to let those two guys specifically get open over and over again, it happens sometimes, right? Cleveland wants to utilize them as shooters, so they run different actions. They run them off screens, use misdirections, cutting, what have you, to open up those opportunities. And they know that doubles are going to get thrown at Donovan Mitchell. You're going to put extra pressure on Darius Garland. Sometimes you'll collapse in the middle on Jared Allen or Evan Mobley. But the Sixers just lost those guys way too many times. And I thought Tyrese was probably the face of that problem because he was involved in so many of those plays with those ball handlers in Garland and Mitchell, where either extra help is coming or he's not making the right read, the right rotation. And so we're watching George Niang just take practice shots. We're watching Sam Merrill take practice shots. And that's what's frustrating, right? Like, this group has cleaned up a lot of defensive issues. They've been better with KYP, you know, your personnel type stuff, better activity, better effort. I mean, look, there are guys in this game tonight, like Mo Bamba, I thought was more aggressive, crashing the glass, being active, moving when he needs to, getting into the right positions, and then just covering the perimeter was a complete disaster and just became impossible for them to overcome.
Yeah, I thought this game was frustrating for two reasons. The first is what Kyle mentioned. They let role players beat them. Like, neither Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell had big scoring nights. they had big nights getting into the paint and kicking out to shooters who the Sixers were more than willing to abandon on the perimeter and even especially in the corners, which was a little bit infuriating. At some point, let those scorers beat you. Let Kyle was yelling this during the game. Let Evan Mobley beat you. Let whoever beat you, just don't leave, you know, shooters like George wide open in the corner when that's the only way they're going to beat you. That was frustrating. The other thing was that outside of Tyrese Maxey and outside of those defensive issues, I thought they did almost everything they needed to do to try to steal a win on the road against a better opponent. They won the rebounding battle in a big way, which they don't often win the rebounding battle in a big way.
Yeah.
They won the turnover battle.
And that's not really a team you should win the rebounding battle that badly either.
And they, so you combine the turnovers and the rebounding, they won the possession battle in a monstrous way. When you combine that with shooting 16 of 40 from three-point range, and the big nights from Kyle Lowry had the best night of his Sixers career by a long shot, second highest scoring game of the season, especially the big first half from Tobias Harris, who came out and he shot four three-pointers before he even like sat down and got
that
a drink.
Guy? I don't even recognize him.
They did so many different things where even a C-minus game from Tyrese, you pull out a win here, and they got as close to an F game from Tyrese as he's going to give you. And look, I don't want to make a big deal of it. Tyrese has still been incredible. I thought maybe he struggled a little bit to navigate Cleveland's size inside. You combine that with the fact that his outside shot was nowhere near going in. I think the Sixers only made one long mid-range jumper on the night, and that was Tobias, I believe. But when you combine his lack of outside shot with the fact that he looked like he was hindered a little bit by Cleveland's size, and also the mental mistakes, and also then the defensive mistakes, this was one of Tyrese's worst performances of the season, and all you needed was anything even close to average, and you pull out a monster win against a tough opponent in a tough environment.
Against a team, again, that they won their last two. They've shown that they can play with them. I saw it already in the chat, someone mentioning if they see them in the playoffs, specifically if the Sixers were to play the Cavs, the Sixers with Joel Embiid would beat this team in the series, and I think most people would feel good about the matchup. That being said,
I don't think anybody fears this Cleveland team in the East,
period.
You even
saw what the Knicks did to them last season when they were the favorite going into that one. But for this one here, there were a number of things. You mentioned 9 3-pointers made between George Niang and Sam Merrill. They made those 9, and as a team, Cleveland made 16. So did the Sixers. So, boom, you wipe that out right there because it's the same thing. 45 made field goals on the other side for Cleveland, 42 for the Sixers. But as Derek mentioned, you win the rebounding battle. You had 24 second chance points. That's normally flipped the other side because they won the offensive rebounding battle 16-5 tonight against a team where they should not be rebounding the way that they did. So that's what made it so infuriating when we're sitting in there watching it and they're doing all these things right, except for they lose that guy in the corner and they lose the other guy in the corner. You get the Darius Garland floater and the scoop shot because he has the creativity of finishing, getting by his man. You expect that. That was a highlight. That was one of our key matchups before the game. But when these guys are knocking down the shot, and I mean open shots where they weren't covered. They were contested at some point, but they were open where they could ball fake, they could sidestep, and still line up the shot and knock it down. And the tough part about the George Niang piece is it was typically Maxey or Reed that I remember seeing, and they know him best of how to close out, how to make sure that,
also,
hey,
that he
close
can't
out hard, but yes, he can't move. Close
he
out hard.
He can't move at all.
Yes, make him drive. But then, look, I'll give George Niang the credit because when he did early on, he was finishing around the rim. He was hitting those layups and those floaters and those runners, which he's always been good at. And that was part of the issue. The other part with the Tyrese Maxey defensive miscues was he looked slow there on those. He looked like he was slow or, I just say, lost a step on the defensive side. But that same defensive, that same loss of a step seemed to also show itself offensively, where he had George Niang,
100%.
He had Darius Garland, he had, if it wasn't Isaac Okoro or even sometimes Max Strus because he can't get a little physical with them, if his name wasn't those guys, you should be going by them, and we see it all the time. So that's what made this one so puzzling, that he couldn't even get by those guys where he's bouncing, trying to go, body contact, and he can't get by them, and he has to come pull back and reset it and do it all over and give the ball up. So I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just one of those off nights. He still has 16, but you know what they needed from him? 20. just so they can win by 1 point in this game to get it over with. So those are some of the things that I thought were there. But, man, for them to score seven, Cleveland, in double figures, make 16 threes, nine off the bench between those two.
Really
Marcus Morris did hit one. That was what frustrated him because you matched him on the three-point line. And as much as we get on them on the offensive glass, making sure that they keep everyone off, they were the ones that were dominant there with 16 offensive rebounds to Cleveland's five with 24 points in that category.
Yeah, they're dominant on both on the glass on both ends. Like, holding Cleveland to five offensive rebounds is a really good night, especially when you're sitting there. You know, they didn't take that many shots, but they missed 35 shots, five offensive rebounds. That's a great job. You won transition battle, you won possession battle, turnover, rebounding, and you shot the shit out of the ball. Most nights, that's going to get you a W.
Yeah, and Devon, I'm really glad you brought up the passivity from Tyrese, the indecisiveness on offense, because I think certainly, and you said this as well, defensively it got you killed. Like, there were just too many moments where too late to X out, too late to rotate, too late to call a switch, whatever he needed to do. Strong and wrong is the thing that we preach here, that we keep saying, like, if you're going to be wrong, just do it quickly, and then other guys can rotate and get to their positions. But offensively, if you look at that moment where they're down, and after Mitchell had made the free throws, and Tyrese can go for either a tying shot, or maybe you just play the possession game and say, okay, I'll go for a quick two. And you know that Cleveland will give you the quick two. You can get to the rim and score. They're not going to foul you, more than likely anyway. And Tyrese had the worst of both worlds. He did not make a decision one way or another when he brought the ball up the floor. He wasted precious time on the clock. And then he ends up settling for, you know, a pretty terrible step-back three-point shot, which, look, if he hits it, everyone's like, oh, my God, Tyrese is a hero. We forget about all the other shots, and it's a big clutch moment and all that. But everything leading up to that was bad, was wrong. It's what you don't like about Tyrese when he has a bad game. You have to commit. You have to just, I know what I'm doing here. The whole reason that Nick Nurse doesn't call a timeout in that situation is to just trust the point guard to say, I know what needs to happen here. And either decision to me is fine. If you see an opportunity to pull for a three, if they back off you enough because they don't want to foul you, there's a shot there, go ahead. You're on the road. You're outmatched in a lot of ways against this team that's better than you as presently constructed without Joel Embiid available. Go ahead, take a three if that's what you're going to do. Don't take a three after burning valuable time off of the clock. That's where I think he really went wrong there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, I see one from Alex McCoy in our chat says he was gassed. It's not hard to figure out. I think he's talking about Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
But there are ways to also, though, Alex, as you say that, he went 2-for-12 from three. Get the other stuff. Again, because of who was defending him, how they were defending him. Yes, some of the length is going to bother him from time to time. But when you have George Niang on you, there's no reason not to at least get a pull-up. You don't have to settle for a three. You drive to the basket. If that's there, you see George is still there a little bit. George is going to ride you a little bit where you can get him on your hip, and you might get a foul. Where if you're not making that shot, you might get two free throws in that regard. So that eliminates taking an extra three where you have to exert so much energy behind a three-point line because, as you pointed out, Alex, he might be gassed. He might be. But again, be a little bit smarter about how he does it. And the reason why we bring it up that way is because we have seen him be smarter about how he does it in those moments. Trusting, because we were looking at it, we're like, oh, no timeout. Nick Nurse is just going to let this one ride out. He's trusting his players. That's where you have faith, Alex, and you trust your players to go out there and do that. 44 minutes last game, 43 this game. Yes, I know. He's still 22, 23 years old, and that guy doesn't really get all that fatigue, but that's my point. Then don't shoot 12 threes. Maybe shoot eight and use those other four of driving to the basket. It's not like they're just swinging the ball. He's wide open saying, hey, this guy can't shoot. Let's stand back and let him fire away. No, that's not what they were doing. He was choosing to take those step backs and do that. Be a little bit more decisive of how to do it to conserve some of that energy.
That being said, I think there is something to be said for how many minutes he's playing and that it could be impacting his play. You know, I do think this is a spot where the Pacers won tonight. The Heat won tonight.
The Heat won, by the way, by a million. 60 points.
60 points.
Franchise record.
And the Bulls lost. So, you know, the sixth seed would be almost impossible. They're 2.5 down with 8 games left to play. The seventh seed is still sort of in play because you play Miami once and because you have an easy back in the schedule, Joe coming back, all that stuff. And the ninth seed, you can almost cross that one off. 4 ahead of the Bulls with 8 to play. They're not catching you. So if they get to a spot where they are pretty much locked into an 8 seed, I do hope Nick is pretty aggressive in giving Tyrese some, you know, either nights off or low-minute nights to try to maybe get a little bit of his legs back. Because even when he's tired, he's going to be fast. He's going to be quick. He's not going to want to come out of the game. But you could see it on the jump shot. It could impact a jumper coming up short. You don't know if that's necessarily what happened tonight, but I do hope they are, like I said, pretty aggressive in trying to get him rest towards the end of the season if there's not much to play for.
Yeah, I think they got to look themselves in the mirror and say, what would Beyonce do?
Well, it's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, with the 43 minutes that he played, Alex, I thought, you know, just from the 4 minutes that Campaign played, it was like, where's Campaign? I know Kyle Lowry was playing better, but that's why you have the other guard to kind of offset that a little bit. And you got good minutes from Ricky Council, where maybe you steal a few more minutes from him, too, just to give Tyrese Maxey a little bit of a rest where he's not going back-to-back 44-43. Alex, I'm not trying to argue, man. I'm not trying to argue. We should have just played a little bit better. We should have just played a little bit better. That said, Alex and everybody out there, this show tonight, as we're on the road, is brought to you by and sponsored by our good friends from BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I was recently telling a story as we were discussing BetterHelp about how I had some things going on in my life, you know, over the last couple of years, and I felt like not just friends and family who you can always lean on. I can lean on these guys. I can talk to my family as well about certain things I may want to discuss, but maybe I wanted to speak to a professional and help me out, make sure I was good to go of what I needed to overcome, maybe, or whatever the situation was. And I know for a fact that BetterHelp and speaking to a paid professional was one of the good decisions that I made. So if you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, so you don't have to get in the car and drive anywhere. You just simply log on and get after it in that way. To talk with the great people at BetterHelp, just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists if it's not for you anytime for no additional charge. Learn more for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/PHLY6ers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/PHLY6ers.
And guys, I'm back from vacation, so you know I have to tell you about our good friends at Bagels & Co. Because I was in the Dominican for 4 or 5 days there, and let me tell you, they do not have Brooklyn-style bagels in Punta Cana. Bagels & Co. can help you out if you're in the area, because they offer an average of around 15 to 20 different types of bagels all year round. They rotate them seasonally. We got Easter coming up. I wonder if they have any kind of Easter stuff. Haven't been in this week, so I don't know. Maybe that's in the works. But if you're a cream cheese guy or gal like I am, they offer 30 different flavors of cream cheese. They rotate them all throughout the year. Bagels & Co. also do themed cream cheeses for the local sports teams, including the Sixers. But also, hey, it was just Philly's opening day, even if we want to pretend that game did not happen on Friday. Eagles, the Union, the Flyers, they got it all. And as important as that variety is the affordability. Bagels & Co. has kept their prices down so you can be an everyday customer as we all battle inflation, not just someone who comes in for your weekend splurge. They also offer premium coffee at a superior price to most national brands and chains. So, like I always say, nothing better than coffee and a bagel. Great combination. For the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philadelphia, head to www.thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the closest Bagels & Co. near you.
Yeah, so the Sixers now 39-35 on the season, Derek, and as you just laid it out, The other teams in front of them in Indiana and Miami didn't win their game. Sorry, Miami, that wasn't a win. That was a,
a historic butt kicking.
I think it's okay. We haven't seen any kids
being
in here.
In person. Like, you can just see like exactly what went, oh, no, I'm not supposed to do that today.
Yeah, man. But again, 39-35, lost three in a row. They come back on Sunday for the Toronto Raptors on the road once again, but dropping an opportunity. Still not out of the question to get that seven seed, but that Indiana game, the way, again, them picking up that when you needed to, again, just stay pace a little bit more.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, when we look back, if they don't get the sixth seed, which I think is very likely they won't, you're going to look at two stretches. The four games that Tyrese Maxey missed because of the concussion, because those were some of the most winnable games left for quite a while, given the tough stretch they had coming up. And these two games here, two games where you lost by a combined 4 points and you had real chances in both of them. If you wanted to, you know, surprise everyone, capture that sixth seed, build some momentum with Embiid coming back, these were two huge missed opportunities.
Yeah,
and I don't really, like, it doesn't change how I feel about the team at all. Like, I think one thing that's actually encouraging about these last two games, they're playing pretty good basketball. They're playing much better defensively. They're cleaning up some of their rebounding issues. They're winning the turnover battle. Like, they're doing good things that portend well to when Joel Embiid returns. But in terms of missed opportunities and chance to jump up to the six, these were big.
Yeah, and look, I feel like for a while there, even though we said, hey, they're a play-in team, I, in my mind, sort of priced in, well, they're still probably the best play-in team, and they should be the seven going into the playoffs. But I'm also not sure. I would say I'd lean the other way. I don't think they're going to be the seven, and so they're going to have to win a road play-in game to not play Boston in the first round of the playoffs. And look, I'm not going to sit here and act like going to Miami is this, like, pressure cooker, torture chamber type environment. But
I mean, look, that's a big game. Those fans might get there in the first quarter this time.
But it's still going to be a playoff-type game or type environment. Joel Embiid will have only played, you know, let's say 6-7 games maybe. We're maxing out. Bree is really jamming to Beyonce over here. I'm very happy for her as we're doing the show. She's having a hell of a time over there.
She's getting a free listen.
So, look, would I pick in a, if all things were equal, Joel Embiid had been healthy the last few months and they happened to be playing Miami in the do-or-die elimination type game, would I pick the Sixers? Yeah, probably,
right,
because I don't think Miami is super impressive. The problem right now is they're not going to have that version of Joel Embiid. They are going to be limping to the finish. And frankly, like, even if we could say, hey, Miami hasn't been that good, and we can cast all kinds of doubt on them, it is still the Miami Heat who doesn't take the, as a franchise, they don't take the regular season that seriously. They still have who I think is the best current coach in the NBA in Spo, who that is a more of a weapon across a seven-game series, but certainly a weapon in an elimination game type format. So it's going to be tough, man. To avoid Boston at this point is going to be very tough to pull off unless Joel comes back and is just firing on all cylinders. And so there's a lot riding on the big fella, as always.
To that point, Anpu Mines in the Super Chat says, we need Joel and Breeds on the court ASAP. ASAP,
Derek. With the braids, too.
I was going to say, he's much better without the braids, historically, so I don't know.
What's that sample size, though? Like, I feel like he always plays with the braids for, like, a week, and then he's like, screw this, they're out.
That's what I mean. He wouldn't get rid of them if he was playing well with the braids, so I don't... If we get Joel in braids, it means he came back quickly. So I would say I agree with the Super Chat on that premise. It likely means that Joel was really firing away.
Good to see him on the bench again. And again, on the road with him. De'Anthony Melton also traveled with the team on the bench with the Sixers there tonight. We had another Super Chat that we wanted to squeeze in here. Bernard McCoy says, brutal game by Maxey. Memo to Nick Nurse. Maxey is not a shooting guard. And I think he plays better when he's playing more point guard than Lowry. Too many quick shots by Maxey. The only tough part is that Kyle Lowry played a good game tonight.
Yeah, and if you look at it, Tyrese has done historically very well playing off ball. Very well. It's one of the ways that's easier to free him with his off ball movement. He's a deadly, like sniper level, best in the world kind of corner 3-point catch and shoot shooter. He's really good coming off of screens. He's really good attacking whenever there's kind of a late rotation. I think that's one of the great things about Tyrese Maxey. You can put him on ball, especially I think he's much better on ball when Joel Embiid's here and they can play that two-man game. But then you can also put him off ball if you get a bigger point guard who can run some action and credibly defend. I think that's one of the benefits of him. Look, I like a lot of what Tyrese does on ball, like I said, especially when Joel Embiid's around. But I also like the fact that he has had a lot of success playing off ball as well. I don't necessarily 100% agree with that.
Yeah, part of the reason that you would invest heavily in Tyrese as a building block piece is because he can do both things. I think he's proven this year that he's more of a point guard than maybe we anticipated coming into the year, right? Like, even tonight, he has 11 assists in a game where I didn't think he played well basically at all. So I get the idea that you want to have him at the point more. I think really, and I don't want to poo-poo Lowry because he had an awesome game tonight. I think really the problem is they don't have a true, like, shooting guard-sized shooting guard.
Oh, yeah.
And so they have to use him as a shooting guard because otherwise you got to live with the warts of Buddy Hield, which he's had some moments this week. He had a really good second half against the Clippers on Wednesday. Tonight was, I don't want to say anonymous, but more of a just, I'd say, average to standard type Buddy night. 1 of 2, 4 of 6 from the field, played 18 minutes. I thought that was a good enough performance off of the bench. But, yeah, they don't have that guy in that spot that's going to allow Maxey to just be a full-time point guard.
Yeah.
He has to do both, or I don't think the current iteration of this team really works.
Yeah.
Well, with him, again, just having a tough night. Sixers fall 117-114. Staying in the backcourt a little bit. Kyle Lowry with his best night in the Sixers uniform, finishing once again with a big number. He had some big shots. 23.6 assists, 3 boards. Turned the ball over twice in 31 minutes and 44 seconds. He made 4 of 8 from beyond for the Sixers tonight. He was really good.
And crucially, had another oop to Mo Bamba. The oops per minute between those two is completely unexpected.
Tyrese Maxey had a good one, too.
He did.
Unexpected mostly because I forget that Mo Bamba can dunk half the time. He just doesn't.
So does he.
I don't want to talk trash about Mo either.
The last dunk he had was really good.
He had some awesome moments in this game.
Like, yeah.
Good. He timed his roles really well. And look, some of that is a credit to Lowry understanding who he's playing with, right? Like timing the lobs and getting that. But Mo deserves plenty of credit for how he had a pretty good game the other night in
double-double
back in Philadelphia against the Clippers. And I know there were a lot of people clamoring for Mo Bamba. And I don't mean his name. I mean, they wanted Mo Bamba at the end of that game against the smaller Clippers. I give him credit for it in a similar fashion as Kelly, where we talk a lot about Kelly's drawbacks and weaknesses and how he's cleaned some of those up. It's been great to see Mo pursue rebounds, like go hard on the glass, because I've said it on the show. Sometimes I just think he's a waste of height. There's no reason to be that tall if you're not going to go up, 2 hands, go get the ball. And I think he's done a better job of that. I think he's put himself in good positions as a shot blocker. Certainly it has helped that I think he's gotten consistent, regular minutes with a lot of the same guys night to night. That's made him look better in a lot of ways. But he has earned the spot that he's gotten now. I think Nurse threw him into that starting role a while back more to shake things up and see if they could get Paul right. And look, Paul Reed had a good game in his own right. A lot of energy plays himself. 5 offensive rebounds, some good finishes around the basket. Certainly had some Paul Reed type miscues as well, but they got good play out of their bigs. And this is a matchup where they should be wildly outgunned. We're talking about a player in Jared Allen who's making a pretty good chunk of money, is a very good player. Evan Mobley is a top 5 pick, guy with a lot of expectations on him. And that's not to say that those guys played poorly, but if you come into a game with Mo Bamba and Paul Reed and you're playing
at least close to those two, that's a game that you should probably win. Like that was credit to both those guys for how they played tonight.
Mo Bamba had a block there towards that closing stretch of the fourth quarter, blocked it, snatched it out of the air with one hand, and the Cleveland player was still trying to aggressively get after the loose ball, but Mo Bamba snatched it, kind of like what you talk about. It wasn't two hands, but it was the one-hand snatch. He has a problem with that sometimes where it goes the other way for him, but it worked out for him tonight. The one issue there also, though, for him on the other side, he had an opportunity to make two free throws to tie the game at the end, and he split a pair at the end. You could see he was frustrated with himself. He nailed the first one. Clean, swish. Second one seemed like he got a little bit, it's the free throw. It's not easy, but got a little tight on that second one, which changed how the rest of the game, of course, was certainly played there with that missed one. So just a tough loss for the Sixers. As good as much as we talk about the Merrill three-pointer and the Niang three-pointers and them making 16 overall, one crucial one too, Derek, was we're standing there. I'm like, give him that. Evan Mobley knocked down that corner three-pointer where you're like,
that was a huge one too.
Yeah. I mean, what was Mo Bamba supposed to do?
Yeah.
Play off of him, of course, make him drive, make him put the ball on the floor if he's going to do it. But he rises up and he takes that three-pointer and nails it. So player comes
up
big
in that spot.
Have
you seen the Knicks box score from tonight?
Yes.
They're
I know Jalen
right?
was going.
Yeah, like 50.
Jalen Brunson has 61.
Yeah.
Even crazier to me, Victor Wembanyama has 40, 20 rebounds, and 7 assists. Dude, I don't think people are prepared for, like, next year Wembanyama, let alone, like, 3-4 years down the line. I saw that pop up. I was just scrolling while we're chatting here, because if I don't, I'm going to look at Derek and hear the words to Texas Hold'em by Beyonce and just picture him saying, this ain't Texas. Sorry,
well,
I had to, like, keep
news,
my mind on other things.
There is a 0% chance I would actually start singing this song.
My brain's in, like, 8 different directions right now, so
yeah,
Wemby is a real
20.
Problem, man.
He only made, he has 40 with only 4 made threes, which we know he's capable of. He took 9 and he has 4 made threes. That's to your point of the guy is good for the things that we know he's good at, folks. He can put the ball on the floor and hit threes regularly, and that guy's gonna be tough. Jalen was 61 though,
that's even tougher.
He's shooting 50% on 25 for 46 shooting, right.
I think the most impressive thing with Wemby,
50%.
When you watch the Spurs play, like you see the stats and then you watch a game and it's like, dude, they probably leave 12 points on the table for him every game, not just throwing a lob when he rolls to the rim and these guys are not
like, what are you doing?
Good enough passer. If he played with, this is a high-end example, obviously. If he played with like 29-year-old Chris Paul, I think Victor Wembanyama right now would be averaging like 30 points a game. I'm not even kidding. I think Chris Paul or like a very good point. If he's playing with current Trae Young, he'd be scoring 30 points a game.
Yeah, I agree.
The amount of money being left on the table for him. And I don't even think you need a – those guys are high-end examples, right? If you put Wemby with just a good point guard who will throw the ball to him more often, I think. Anyway, sorry, this isn't the San Antonio Spurs Victor Wembanyama podcast.
I think part of the problem was you were starting Jeremy Shochan as the point guard for the first part of the season.
That's a story for another day.
Should have been Jones the whole time. Just let him run. He's the point guard, but go ahead.
Well, guys, while we've been with our good friends here at Deke's Barbecue, been enjoying some ice cold Coors Light. Maybe that's why my brain's all over the place. I've had one too many Coors Lights. Drive responsibly, by the way. When you need to choose a chiller way, a better way than getting mad about a bad Tyrese Maxey performance, you can always choose an ice cold Coors Light. We don't have the bottles and cans here. We have a nice draft beer with a beautiful Coors Light glass. But you'll know you're getting an ice cold Coors Light because the mountains turn blue on the bottles and cans when they hit that perfect temperature. These two will vouch for this. I promise you guys, this is not made up. I went to the Dominican this week. I showed up to my hotel room. All inclusive, so I knew the mini bar was included. They refill it every day. And what is the first thing I see in my mini fridge in my resort room?
You sent us
I
a
see
screenshot.
Two ice cold Blue Mountain Coors Lights, and I sucked one of those down. That was one of the first things I did to start my vacation. I was very excited about it to share it with not just those guys, but you guys, now that you hear the story, because Coors Light is cold layered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smooth finish. Mountain cold refreshment, so even if you are in the Dominican, you're in Cabo in Mexico, you're in Miami, you're somewhere warm, you always know Coors Light's looking out for you and that beer will be cold when it hits your hands. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill, choose Coors Light, just like I know Beyonce would. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYBasketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is the kind of music that you put your feet up and
chill.
We
are definitely choosing chill over here at Deeks.
If you're like me, you've probably got a lot of home to-do projects coming up in store in spring. If one of those is flooring, Empire Today has you covered. With Empire Today, you get shop-at-home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring, so of course they have copycats. But they can't beat Empire Today in quality, service, or speed, so they advertise low-quality products that Empire simply won't carry. Empire Today keeps shopping for simple with a curated product selection. Their philosophy is to help you find what you need, not to overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is as important as what they put in. Empire's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find perfect styles. The lack of Beyonce completely threw me off. And Empire Today has a virtual floor designer, which is a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. Shopping for floors at a big box store can be frustrating. You might talk to someone today who was working in plumbing yesterday. Flooring is all Empire Today does. They live and breathe flooring, so you can be confident you're getting honest, upfront advice. With Empire Today, they also service their own warranties. With Empire Today, you won't have to track down a manufacturer's phone number. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use the promo code PHLY. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/PHLY for details.
A quick question in the chat from Neil Deaver. Kyle, let's get to this, a little positive conversation. You recommended the Punta Cana? I hear mixed things on all-inclusive.
So you got to go know what you're getting coming in, right? If you go all-inclusive, more than likely you're going to take a hit somewhere. I think it's probably in food. Like, it's not going to be the quality of food you get at
Bagels and Co.
Bagels and Co. would be a great example. Or Deeks Barbecue would be another example. You're not going to get, like, oh, this is fine dining level food. The place that I stayed at there was pretty good. But the Dominican's weather was perfect. And I will say, because Jay is calling me out, he says, you ain't got no tan, Kyle. I think I got a little bit of color. But, buddy, when you go down as pale
you
as
wore the
I
bucket
was,
hat, man.
I was wearing 50 SPF, and I was spending a lot of time in the shade down there because I did not want to come back with the, my dad calls it the Eat at Joe's forehead, where it looks like you got the neon red all over your face. So I did not do that, but as Jay says, Beyonce, this is cigar music that was on. I did have some cigars down there. There was some cigar and 10-year-aged Cuban rum that I had while I was down there.
So fire up a stick, huh?
That was right in my wheelhouse.
I am really bad at the sunscreen. If I take a February or March trip to the Dominican or to anywhere warm, I will come back a completely different color.
Yeah. I think I actually, not being tan is a credit to my aging and getting wiser and choosing chill, but also choosing no skin cancer was kind of the move I was on.
I agree with you. I'm just terrible at it.
Yeah. I've gotten burned too many times in the Caribbean to punish myself like that again.
You ever fall asleep on the beach?
Yes, but luckily with sunscreen on.
You've done that?
Oh.
Yeah.
Might have been a Coors Lighter too involved in that story.
Got you. Yeah, I got you. Our buddy Ash Monroe says, I will be in South Beach for the play-in game versus those frauds, Miami Heat. Ash Monroe.
Good for you, buddy.
Got to check in with his Ash from Miami after
that
win.
A trip to Miami is always a good thing.
Getting ready for that 7-2 matchup against Milwaukee after that one. Davon in the Super Chat. I hate to say it, Maxie lost the game tonight. We discussed that. And also,
I think that's completely fair.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. He adds, on a positive note,
Buddy's hustle and defense were good tonight, and quality. Go get him, Rick! Minutes for Ricky Council the Fourth.
It was very nice to see friend of the show, Ricky Council the Fourth, get some real minutes. Hit a corner three, which all of us were whooping and hollering about. Actually, we were talking to some of our cohorts here at Deeks when Ricky checked in, and Devon was mid-conversation, and I just screamed Ricky, and I probably looked like a completely insane person. No more so than normal, but a completely insane person to any of the strangers that were just popping in here for a drink or some barbecue.
Yeah. Gene says, Devon, can't you contribute to this conversation about the suntan lotion and all that burning on the beach? Well, since you asked, bucket hat, some shades, and get under the umbrella.
Yeah, you were here when he busted out the bucket hat.
I had the bucket hat.
I had
on
a bucket hat.
We
got to
get some matching
Caribbean
bucket hats. There we go.
I told you, see, we got to wear the bucket hats on the show, man. And if we go somewhere and do the show in the playoffs with some sun, Derek, you're taking the bucket hat with you as well. So, yes,
sure.
Gene.
Well, all right. Well, this is true base level, but I can almost guarantee you, Devon, you will look much cooler in a bucket hat than either Derek or I will.
Mine
is a utility move, not a style move.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
All right, a couple of things to get into again with the players in the game. Sixers lose by 3, 117-114. We spoke a lot about Kelly Oubre and his $50,000 fine. We were wondering how he was going to come out and respond in this game. Well, they were in the game the entire game. This wasn't a Cleveland is blowing out the Sixers, they got to storm back, or vice versa. This thing was back and forth. Like, how many lead changes were there?
I saw there were 20 plus. I remember that.
27 lead changes, yeah. 8 times tied in this game. So this thing went back and forth. Kelly Oubre had 3 fouls in the first half. He got caught. He played 3 minutes and 25 seconds in the second quarter. In the first half, he ended up with 3 personal fouls, 11 minutes and 46 seconds, Kyle. He only had 2 points on 1 for 7 shooting, did not shoot a 3, did not attempt a 3 in that first half. He was just off all night, could never get into a rhythm, and you wonder.
I did say prior to the game,
yes.
I was like, oh, he doesn't have that much of a reputation or history that he's going to suffer for this. And then mid-game, I was like, you know, if I was someone who wanted to have a conspiracy brain, I would look at the foul calls he was whistled for, and more importantly, the foul calls he did not get in his favor, and say, I wonder if anybody remembered those comments that he made the other night, or the fact that he was fined $50,000 today by the National Basketball Association. So I take back a little of what I said in the pregame, but I don't want to overdo it. It could just be like a one-off, got a tough whistle, whatever. It was not a good night for him either. I think, what was he, 2 for 11,
two
I
for
believe.
11.
Yeah. He just never really found a rhythm in this game.
Missed
the
bunny too early, where he was right at the rim, made a really good move, got to the basket, finger roll right at the rim, like he typically does. Not a finger roll from the free throw line. This was right there at the cup. He just missed it. Tough night.
I feel like we have barely talked about him. I want to give some props to Tobias Harris tonight, because it was the type of game we often want him to have, just a volume three-point shooting game. It helped that he made them, right? He made 4 out of his 9 threes. He's 8 for 17. He's relatively efficient. 21 points, 7 rebounds, couple of assists, steal, a block. I'm not expecting that every night, but I do think the volume can be there. The shot opportunities are going to be there. Even there was a possession, in the fourth quarter, I believe, Devon, where he had an open-ish 3.
Top of the key.
But he attacked George Niang. Like, it was at least it makes sense to pass up that 3. It's all we want, or it's all I want, but I know you guys want the same thing from him. Let it fly, man. You are a good enough shooter that if you take 8-9 threes, you're going to make at least a few of those over the course of a game, and that changes how teams defend you. That changes how teams defend the rest of the team as a result of that. So really good to see from him, because as we have said 1,000 times, he has been extremely up and down this year. He had a tough one the other night, at least the one game that I was able to catch up on before jumping back into it here. So good game from him. A shame to waste that as well, because there haven't been many of those lately.
Three for five, real fast, 3 for 5 in the first quarter, 2 for 4 from three. How fast did those four threes get up, Derek? Those are his
first
four shots.
Within the first 3 or 4 minutes,
right. Yeah.
Over-under of 3 3-pointers attempted Sunday.
Against Toronto, over.
I'm going under. No way.
You know why I go
and
over?
That's the entire
fool me
Tobias
once, shame on you. Fool me 350 times.
I go over just because the last time I saw Toronto, I saw their lineup. I think R.J. Barrett is back playing for the team. I don't know about Scotty Barnes. I haven't seen. But I'll go over on that one. I'll go.
By the way, we have switched to Frank Ocean here. That might be our sign that we need to get the heck up out of
that's
here.
That's our sign.
Because that's like you're at home at this time of night music. I'm not going to leave it
chill.
At that. You are definitely choosing chill. If you are listening to Frankie Ocean at 10:55 on a Friday night. And I love Frank Ocean, but.
Well, we got to let everybody know, Sunday the Sixers take on the Toronto Raptors. And wouldn't it be the perfect time for Joel Embiid to come back and take on the Toronto Raptors at 6 o'clock start time, I believe it is, on Sunday.
Easter Sunday, 6 p.m. is a rough one.
Yeah.
Boy, that's something.
So with that, after you're done eating and you went to church earlier in the day and you had your food and you were getting ready to sit back, choose and chill, putting your feet up and watching some basketball, why don't you watch with us? Because we're going to have a live watch-along right here on our feed as we the Sixers take on the Toronto Raptors. This is
the first time we
are doing it. So who's going to watch with us? Let us know in the chat if you're going to watch along with us on Sunday. And we certainly hope that we see you then. Brianna's going to be here. Of course, Kyle, Derek, myself will be here all together watching.
And super producer Bree, of course.
Absolutely. She'll be here watching. So you'll see what we do during the games. Get up, go to the bathroom, go get some water, eat food, eat candy, eat junk.
To be clear, you're not going to, like, follow us.
Did you just say the first thing to advertise our watch-along was, you'll see us go to the bathroom? Well, what is going on? It really is Frank Ocean hours on Friday night. Oh, my God. What is happening? All right, I might just start the shout-outs right now because we're going completely off the rails. Thank you, as always. First of all, thank you to Deeks for having us
thank
tonight.
Thank you so
much. Thank you to Coors Light. We had giveaways. We gave away tickets, hats, merch, all kinds of stuff
you
tonight.
You can't walk with us to the bathroom, but you'll know we left the set to go to the bathroom.
Thank you to Coors Light for that. Thank you to our wonderful people that came out to say hello, hang out with us tonight. Have some. And by the way, we advertise. $3 Coors Lights here. There were Coors people here. There were some free Coors Lights shared with the people. That's the type of stuff you get when you come out to a PHLY Sixers watch party. So keep that in mind. And after you've all been traumatized by Devon's watch along sales pitch,
coming back,
I want
about 10 pounds lighter.
I want to make sure it's a good thing this wasn't a Manscaped night, by the way. I want to make sure.
Maybe Sunday, you never know.
Oh, no. I want to shout out Liam. I want to shout out Eugene, Money Mar, my girl Winona.
What up, Winona?
Who sent me some tweets while I was on vacation. Winona, I saw them, but my wife would have divorced me if I responded to tweets on vacation. So I apologize to you for not being that up with Twitter. Let's see. Who else is here? We got Remo, G Bravo, Broad J Ford. On Poo Minds, Alex McCoyd.
Alex?
Our guy, Al.
What up, Al?
The 2-minute warning. The legend himself, the Bull RJ, Barbara Carroll.
Let's see.
Who else we got? Rick Morse.
Our guy, Tim. Our diehard Tim, our co-host, Tim. That's stepping in sometimes.
Absolutely right. We got Americick Northeast Philly. That seems like a business page that someone has not logged
out. That's Karate Mark.
But we love you.
Yes, that's Karate Mark.
We got, I can't say that one. I'm going to skip past that one that I saw. We got Cannoli, as always. We got Jay. I'll have a cigar for you.
What up, Jay?
When I get home, I'll listen to some Beyonce. I'll think of Punta Cana.
Producer Bree.
WJM 5089. I can't scroll any further for some unknown reason, but I love you all. It's great to be back. If you have not already, hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell icon so you get notifications each and every time we go live. And if you hit thumbs up, I promise you, Devon will have a better sales pitch for our next watch along.
No, I won't.
Okay, well,
you know I'm going to disappear.
I will try my best. Anyway, so thank you for being with us, guys. We'll be with you Sunday.
We will 6 see
PM.
You Sunday in the bathroom.
6 p.m. sharp, baby.